We like to think of the Jefferson Exchange as something of a buffet with lots of different items to choose from. And as it turns out, thinking of a buffet makes us hungry. So we now feature a once-a-month food segment called Savor. Will Smith is our partner. He's a food stylist, which means he's well-versed in making food and making it look good on camera. Every month he brings a recipe and a guest. We seem to have a problem with the guest this time because of a schedule change. But there's always lots to talk about with food. So yes. Thank you so much for being here, Will Smith, once again.
I love it.
So a lot of talk about meat this month. At some point, we hope to have Adam Danforth in here from his butchery. And
we'll
do we have had him in here before.
Yeah,
too.
And we'll do it in the future. So, you know, the whole emphasis of this segment is really talking about seasonality and what to buy locally and what's fresh. And so it's January and it's cold. And I felt like meat would be a great topic to talk about. Again, it's the... my birthday is on Sunday. I shared it with
Happy
my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty amazing. She was born in 1900. She passed away in 95. I spent every birthday with her my entire life. And I credit her with, showing me the ropes in the kitchen. She was, born in Victor, Idaho and had this sort of very American, sort of continental sort of style of cooking. But, I mean, she used to do a strip steak seared in a pan, and she'd always make a garlic parsley butter and then put that little dollop of butter on that steak. And I swear it's still the best steak I've ever had before. I dream about it.
I never cease to be amazed at the way that the stomach and the heart are so related, not necessarily in distance, but just in the way that we connect those things.
Yes, and smell too. And it's such a historical, family, heartfelt. It's a way of gathering people. It's one of my favorite things about food.
There is something about heart and stomach is the sense of love that comes with the meals you shared and the meal traditions you had growing up. If there were any traditions in your family, anything at all, really. I mean, if you remember stuff like, we had Pop-Tarts for dinner about six times a week, out of the toaster. But boy, there we were in the kitchen together. I mean, the fact is that the things that happen in kitchens really kind of stick with people through their lives.
Yes, and I feel like, I was originally a respiratory therapist for 10 years, and I was progressively sort of burning out in that sort of field, and food was really my hobby, and I do credit my grandmother for that. So, and one of the things about that is that I used to go to the market with her, and I feel like my generation is sort of that bridge from old fashioned and going to this more industrial age. And so we used to go to the bakery, we used to go to the produce market, and then she also had a favorite butcher. And I always remember, I have that visual of being tiny and looking up at her mm-hmm. and her hand on the counter and discussing with the butcher about what the best, freshest cut was and how to prepare it. And I really do think that is something sort of lost, for most people, heading to the market, and again, the focus of this is trying to get people to think a little bit outside of the box. It's a little bit more difficult, but you can really search out and find incredible ingredients locally, and if I could get people to step out of the supermarket, that would be my dream.
I heard the pre-supermarket touch there in your description of shopping with your grandmother, because the idea of just grabbing stuff off shelves and throwing in a basket, that was not something previous generations did.
Not at all.
And it's interesting to go to other countries too, to see places where I remember being in Germany with a friend one time, and she ordered two slices of bread, and they cut off the loaf for her.
Amazing. No, I love that, actually. I also work at a winery on the weekends, and I'm sort of dumbfounded by the bottle situation. In Europe, again, you can bring your own container of whatever and then go to the vineyard and actually just fill your container. And I wish we did that here, too, because it just makes sense.
It's like wine growlers, you're saying?
Yes, exactly. So great. So fast forward, I went to cooking school, ended up in New York, and again, these two markets are gone. I had the joy of shopping there from about 89 to about 2005. Balducci's on 6th Avenue and across the street was Jefferson Market. Again, these multi-generational butchers that could answer any question. They not only had relationships with the customers, but they also had relationships with the growers. And that's what I think is so important.
Jefferson Market, 6th Avenue and 9th Street?
Yes.
I remember the library very well. My father lived just west of 7th Avenue.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Right next door.
I remember one Saturday we came out of the apartment. It's like, wow, how come we can see the library? Oh, yeah, they demolished the Women's House of Detention.
Such a beautiful building.
Truly, the Jefferson Market Library. Anyway, yeah. We're not going to talk about architecture this time on the Jefferson Exchange. This is our monthly food segment, Savor, with our partner, Will Smith, the food stylist. Got ideas about food, some questions for Will? Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So the concept of seasonality... we've talked about with a number of people on food segments in the past before we established Savor here on the Exchange. But is this something that was ever close to lost and that came back over to people realized, hey, you know, that you can actually cook with what grows near you when it's fresh?
That's a very good question. And also, our guest who's not here was also speaking about the seasonality of meat. And there's actual a seasonality of meat as well, which I think is really interesting. Springtime, lamb and beef, poultry, summer, and also the larger animals into the fall and winter, which I think is really interesting. I think that's something that we don't think about at all.
No. Yeah, you think about the stuff that's green and growing is going to have seasons, but not the stuff on feet.
So the thing that's interesting to me, and again, it's going to cost probably a little bit more, but you can go to the farmer's market, you can go to a smaller market and sort of, you know, ask questions. There are smaller meat producers near us in the valley, Northern California, lots of Southern Oregon. We are growing beef, lamb, chicken, and it's important to make those relationships. The product is going to be stronger, healthier. And also because it's smaller production, it's also much better for the environment as well.
The advantage, I should point out, is not just for the customer. It's for the farmer, too, because when the farmer knows the faces of the people that they're selling the stuff to, it's like they feel a sense of commitment as well.
Completely. And also, I mean, this thing is it's an incredible circle of life for the community. You know, it's... you're helping family farmers. The farmers have a connection with you. They're also not these enormous factory farms. And again, I go back to the same point that I've made. I try to make it each month, which is the only power we have is your wallet. So if you don't frequent supermarkets and large industrial beef or meat production and use that cash to help a family farmer, it's good for everybody and the planet.
It sounds like you were exposed to pretty good food early on from your grandmother. But,
yes.
But was there a time in your life when you had something that was fresher than you'd had it before? I mean, was there an awakening moment for you where it was like, oh, I didn't realize it could be like this because I've been having it the mass-produced way?
Totally. My mom was a working mom, single mom. And she used every shortcut that she could possibly use. And, you know, because it was new, you know, boxed meals and, you know.
Helper.
Hamburger helper, et cetera, et cetera. I grew up on a steady diet of all of that. And it was, so I finished college, moved to San Francisco. So started having incredible Chinese. I went to Monterey Market out in Berkeley, which was just this eye-opening experience of all these like Asian vegetables and the freshest vegetables from all the Central Valley of California, and that's totally hooked me into cooking.
We have a call here. Let's take a call from grab your headphones so you can hear her. This is Maggie in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. This is our Savor segment with Will Smith. Hi, Maggie.
Thank you. I just heard the talk about how supermarkets don't do the great job of meshing with customers that the small-town markets used to do. And I wanted to put in a plug for the customer service at the Arcata Co-op where I shop.
So great.
I wanted especially to commend the produce department. I don't deal with the meat department as much, but Damon, particularly in the produce department. You can approach him and ask him about your menu and what would be the best and most appropriate vegetables for a particular dish. And he always has lots of suggestions, and he's been a wonderful
So great. So it goes just beyond knowing the vegetables, but knowing what kinds of meals they go well with, you're saying?
Exactly, yes. Oh, wow. He's a very happy chef himself, so he's happy to share all that knowledge.
All right. Glad to hear that things are going well at the Arcata Co-op. Thanks for sharing the story, Maggie. Very much appreciate that. Which raises a question. As she talked, I was thinking co-ops have a sort of a middle ground there. I would think they'd be able to bring people and producers, I mean, consumers and producers closer
completely
together.
Completely. And I really want to urge people to, you know, it's so funny. It's something that you're ingesting. It's so important to have a group of people that you can connect with, that you can ask questions. Like I said on our first show, you know, I have friends that live in big fancy houses, and the kitchen is sort of like this operating room. It's like something
so sterile.
Exactly. They don't really use it. They don't know how to use it. And I think that if you develop relationships, could be a farmer's market, could be a co-op, and even, you know, there's some great people that work at supermarkets as well. There's a wealth of information and a wealth of education that you can get from people that work at these places. And it is something that you are actually eating. So it's important to know where it's coming from.
You were talking about going to the Monterey Market and living in the Bay Area,
yeah,
and just being exposed to a lot of new kinds of food. Have there been things that you've kept in your repertoire since that time, things that you'd never eaten before that are like just you eat them all the time now?
Yes. There's, you know, I really do love these like Chinese greens and beans and broccoli rabe, which I never had growing up. You know, that was something that I sort of turned on to. You know, it's just it's a beautiful like kaleidoscope of things that you can purchase.
Broccoli rabe, what goes in there besides the broccoli?
Oh my God. So good. Sauteed garlic, olive oil, a squeeze of lemon or lemon zest at the end. It's that sort of bitter broccoli-esque sort of flavor. I love it.
All right. Why don't I remind my wife, there is that lemon sitting on the counter at home, and I know you like to have citrus in the meal, so I'm pretty sure we're going to have broccoli rabe very, very soon at our house.
So yummy.
I've been smelling this dish, and I moved it over closer to us so you could reach it. What is the recipe you prepared this month?
So this is cool for this month. So it's a beef recipe. It's a braised beef recipe. Sort of a little nod to Mexico, because I grew up in San Diego. Has a three different kinds of chili powders. Braised beef has a little bit of cocoa powder in it, onion. And the thing that's really cool about it is that you can eat it like a stew. You can wrap it in a tortilla. You can put it over a lavash or a naan sort of bread, have it as a sandwich. Delicious.
May I please have some?
Yes.
It looks really good. I said that the container's kind of sweating here, too, because went in there warm. And is it cilantro you have along the side here,
I have
too?
A little cilantro and a little chopped onion. Mm-hmm. So just let me know. You know, I'm fascinated by just the flavor of the sauce, which I think is really amazing.
Let me try the sauce by itself without the beef first.
A little smoke. Little chili.
Wow. Hits the sinuses fast.
I know. And it's sort of that bridge between Latin and sort of almost Moroccan sort of flavors to me. So that's one of my favorite things.
And how long does it take to prepare this?
Oh, it's quick. You know, you mix all the spices and sear the beef, and then it's really just let it simmer for like 3 hours. You do it in a slow cooker too. That's excellent.
And what cut of beef?
I use brisket.
And so how long cook that?
About 2.5-3 hours.
All right, so the whole preparation at the same time. Okay.
Yeah,
so
it's
it
fast.
Any searing of the meat first?
Yeah. So the thing that's sort of interesting about it, and again, it's just that making something deeper, you could use just a chili powder. This actually has ancho, chipotle, and jalapeno. But beautiful. And that cocoa powder gives it a little bit of richness and depth.
Oh, and now I see the quarter pound bacon here
as
well.
Yeah, it's a little bit in the beginning. Uh-huh. So you use, and that's what you sear the beef in, is the bacon fat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, jalapenos, minced beef stock, bottle of beer. Does that go into the sauce or does it go into the cooker?
Everything goes in the mixture.
All right, fun stuff. That's really good.
Yeah,
and I like
love
the
it.
Burn. It's not too much even for this time of day.
No, right? And fantastic in a sandwich too.
Mm-hmm. So you were just came back from Chicago
yes.
on a business trip. So you always off shooting thing or arranging stuff for photographers?
Yeah.
To shoot?
So I was in Chicago for Quaker. Had a nice 2-day shoot with them, and then I did some samples with. I have a lovely photographer that I work there, so we did about probably 12 shots for samples. So that was fun too. Just very creative.
What kinds of things does Quaker Oats want you to shoot? Was it the granola bars and things like that?
We did a clam dish. We did a sandwich. We did a soup. We did all sorts of things.
Wow. Okay. It's always an exciting time around food. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Savor is our monthly food segment now with Will Smith, a food stylist, and obviously lots of expertise in the kitchen. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you.
We'll get Adam Danforth in here at some point.
You better believe
something blew
it.
Up with his schedule. But Adam Danforth had been here before talking about his books on butchering, which won James Beard Awards.
Oh, and I have to do a little plug for him. He's an amazing guy who's written 2 books on butchery. James Beard Award winner, and just a thoughtful, great guy who's trying to show that good animal welfare and butchery can be a really good thing.
Okay, we hope to have him out in the future. That is Savor with Will Smith. Thanks so much for being here. That's this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you for listening. We have more coming up.